this is Deanna Spimpola. I'm coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. For those listeners who live in Austin, remember that today is Texas-Israel Day. That is something that Rick Perry thought up, and we know that he is a huge Zionist. And hopefully some of you met together at 9:30 at the Capitol steps to indicate just what you think of what is going on in Texas and their collaboration with Israel. As you know, I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN for people who can't handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1, that's the numeral 1, spingola1@yahoo.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Richard Dwayne Willing, or as he is known on the cover of his books, R. Dwayne Willing. His website is rdwaynewilling.com. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hello, Deanna.
It's wonderful to hear your voice, and I appreciate the times when you are listening and you call in to add your contributions to the program. So I'm glad that we could visit today.
Oh, good. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Good. All righty. You are the author of two books, Money, the 12th and Final Religion, and that was your first book.
Yes.
And your latest book, we won't say last book, because you might be writing another one, right?
I'm supposed to be, yes.
Okay, your latest book is The American Caliphate of Biswag. And Biswag means British Israel Zionist World Occupation Government.
Yes.
Which
is
a mouthful.
The final world order.
Yes, the final world order. Exactly. And there's no doubt about who's behind it, right?
Well, these books came about sort of by accident, but because of my own experience, my own interpretation of things. And Biswag sort of fell out of the blue because I stumbled on the story of British Israel, and I thought that was the most charming story I'd ever discovered, I'd ever heard of.
Sure.
But it's for real, and they take it seriously. And then 19th century, it was a serious thought. And, of course, Zionist comes in at the end of the 19th century, which is closely linked with the British Israel saga. And now post-WW2 and moon landings and Reaganomics and Thatcherisms, we have the World Occupation Government, maybe. So it all came together as Biswag. And I thought it had sort of a implied double meaning there, kind of.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yes. Well, you're very creative. You've devised a lot of people, including some of the advisors in this book that we're talking about. Emma of Kazabazua.
Yes, Kazabazua. It's a small village north of Ottawa. It has the longest bar in the world by its own measure.
And she is otherwise known as Loco Lola because
yes.
of her past life as Queen Juana of Castile, the
yes.
first woman Jesuit in the 1555 Vatican.
Right. Yeah.
you're very creative and very humorous. All righty, we will be back after a word from our sponsor, back in 3 minutes.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Richard Dwayne Willing. And his website is rdwaynewilling.com, and you can get to his blog spot by visiting his website. All righty, so pick up where we left off. I would like to have you tell the audience, the listeners, about your experience and how you came to write these books and why you're qualified to do that.
The qualification... academically, of course, is just a graduate degree in business and Bachelor of Science and all that hard academic work that I didn't work too hard at. But anyway, I wasn't a dedicated scholar, I guess you'd say. And then one thing leads to another, and I wound up in consulting with a New York company. And we spent a lot of time in Chicago preparing Montgomery Ward to morph into Walmart. And that's a really interesting story that somehow...
Well, we need to hear that.
Hmm? Beg your pardon?
We need to hear that story.
Oh, well, it's a sort of lost in the saga of Wall Street. And Ward's was converting itself to what it called third-generation retailing, which is self-service retailing, actually, which means you do, as a customer, you do all the work. And all you have is a checkout counter. And of course, that is the model that became Walmart. And Ward's at that time acquired Container Corporation, and they merged also for a short while with a thing called Marcor, which is the petroleum company. So you had a container, you had an oil company, and you had a retail company. It was a world's perfect money machine, but somehow it got taken apart. Marcor was pulled out of it, or Mobil Oil. Mobil merged with Ward's and Container, and became Marcor. And that was supposed to be the breakthrough, and it was a breakthrough organization. I mean, it was just possibly the most humongous retail organization on the planet because of the Mobil Oil had all the money any company would ever need. And but anyway, for reasons not known to me and worthwhile studying, they broke it up. They broke up Ward's and Mobil, broke up Marcor. And a lot of the systems and plans and structure went west and south to a place, where are they now? Benton, Arkansas? Is that where they are?
Yeah,
somewhere?
Yeah.
And it was a boardroom arrangement of some kind. And so it prospered.
So it wasn't all the efforts of Sam Wall or whatever. I guess it was
Walton? Sam?
Yeah.
Crazy Sam?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, he was just a lunatic hustler. He was a money machine. You know, he knew how to do merchandise, but he was a little weird. And, but he didn't have the retail and the real estate access across the country that Ward's did. Ward's had locations for 1,400 stores all across the U.S. They used to call them green awning, like the old time stores. When you go into town and you'd see the green awnings out from the department stores, these were called green awning stores, and Ward's had 1,400 of those scattered all across the U.S. And they were not profitable because the name of the game in the 60s was shopping centers and malls. So they got together, and the principle at stake was that Walmart, or the new Ward's, whatever you want to call it, would be self-standing, but in the traffic zone of a mall, and self-service, and a very small percentage of the store space would be office and inventory. In other words, everything in the store was visible to the customer, and there would be no dormant inventory in the back of the store, which was a custom in the old green awning stores. So that was the principle. And then what was happening was there were 45 major buyer departments. The buyer goes out across the world and finds products and makes arrangements to have them delivered to the stores. Well, there were 45 buyers, and 35 of these guys were going to be given the axe. The new store would only have 10 buyers.
Ah.
And the idea of department service in the old Ward store, the old department stores, where you went in and you'd see the sales clerk, that would be her department. That was her terrain. And she was getting older. A lot of them were, most of them were women in the soft goods and the cosmetics. Very profitable departments, by the way. And they were getting older and cranky and unappealing. So we wiped them out and with Walmart. And so that's the saga that gives us Walmart. And, of course, Walmart lied right from the start because they had a sign up when you go into the store. They say, Made in America. Remember those signs? They didn't make it. They were making in Asia in 1968 when we were buying things during the Tet Offensive, for crying out loud. Retail stores were buying merchandise, so that's quite a period of time, and a major financial benefit to the Walton family. They're just multi-billionaires, and they don't have to turn a wheel. But Sam was an interesting character because he'd been in the Army in WW2, but he was a spook, and he was assigned to spy on the Mormons, apparently.
Why?
In Utah. So he...
That must have been exciting.
Well, yeah, maybe it was for him, yeah. But so he was just an energy, bundle of energy with a clear idea of how to merchandise. And that is, bring in merchandise, turn it over very quickly. You don't let it sit around. And of course... Somehow he got in touch with the Ward's people, because that area of Ward's, the the Central District of the U.S. Was very profitable for Ward's. And apparently Sam got himself recognized and made connections. But so that it's a long story. It's a very corporate story, very high-powered corporate tensions and politics. And it was that was my introduction, anyway, to the real world. And because I've been doing graduate work and engineering and manufacturing before that in the aerospace industry. And then post that Ward's experience, I wound up in Washington and at the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, which no longer exists. Now, the Federal Home Loan Bank Board was invented in 1933 or 4 for the purpose of buying mortgages from local savings and loans. In other words, the local SNL would only have $1 million. They'd make 50 loans of some number, and they'd be loaned out. They wouldn't have any more loaning capital. So what they could do, they would go to the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, and the bank board would say, you've got $1 million of local mortgages. Only half of them are overdue. We'll buy the other half. So they would give, they would accept nominal acceptance of the good mortgages and give the local savings and loan $500,000 to continue in business. So that was the, and, but the local savings and loan was still in control and in touch with the local market. We don't get the mortgage swindle for another 40 years or 50 years. And the Federal Home Loan Bank Board was organized into 12 districts, very similar to the
Federal Reserve.
Federal Reserve system, exactly. But it was stuck because they didn't have checking accounts. They had to take deposit money and accumulate enough deposit money to loan for mortgages. And so when you went to a savings and loan, you would probably couldn't cash a check that wasn't written on that loan company. So anyway, the point being that locally you would put your money in the savings and loan. You'd build up an account so you might have a down payment on a house, and they would look you over and say, okay, you're worth $20,000 or whatever a house was worth back then. And they would write you a mortgage, and you'd start making payments to the SNL. Now, the savings and loan, even at that level, they had to get more money time to time. So they'd go to their regional Federal Home Loan Bank and make deals to get loans and so forth. And again, a savings and loan does not have stock. So they couldn't sell shares to get on the market swindle, you know, the stock exchange swindle. Mm-hmm. So they had to have cash. And that was your savings and loan recovery during the Depression. And what else? There's one more thing that was important here. The SNL executive people were generally privileged in the local community. They were the big tractor dealer, the biggest farmers, the big real estate operators, the big pharmacists. You know, the big local merchants would have a place at the savings and loan. They put their money in the savings and loan, and by the size of the deposit was your ownership.
Oh, wow. All righty, Richard, we do have to go to a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
Listen up. This isn't some Detroit car commercial. And this isn't how we do it, not in any America I know. We don't take away the rights and call it public safety. We don't burden folks with something called Obamacare and call it affordable. We don't take what you earn and call it a fair share. That's not America. That's not how it's done. In my country, In my America, earning has always been better than receiving. If that's what you believe, this is America, and we're about to show you how it's supposed to be done. Step up and be heard by participating at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Join us and stand up for the America you know at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. That's how it's done. Now do it. You have a voice. Now use it.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Richard Dwayne Willing. His website is rdwaynewilling.com, and you can also visit his blog spot from there. Very, very interesting things on his website and on that blog. All right, you were talking about the savings and loan, and that they were divided into 12 districts. And of course, we're all, I think, probably aware of the savings and loan crises of the 80s and 90s and the failure of that of about 747 associations in the United States.
450.
How much?
4,950.
Oh, really? Where did I get that crazy low number?
My task was to make 4,950 SNLs ready to become stock issue checking account commercial banks.
Oh.
That was Brother Nixon's vision. And he had a hitman named Preston Martin, who was chairman of the Fed, or the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, chairman of the bank board. And they were putting together this master plan, which, if you think about it in a political sense, 4,950 small communities across the U.S., with all the major money players in each community as major depositors in an SNL, and they'd be on the board of the SNL, and they would read on the loan decisions of the SNL. I mean, this was a power play unparalleled. Anyway, my job was fairly simple. I was just supposed to go around and make sure that all these savings and loans use the same operating protocols for system requirements. In other words, you could just, all you'd have to do is code the requirements, put it on the old computer, and you'd have a central banking system operated from a central computer right across from the old executive office building on 17th Street.
And
they built
would,
a new building for that.
Wouldn't they take, wouldn't they, these 4,000 institutions be outside of the Federal Reserve system?
Oh, yeah. Parallel.
Totally. Oh, so this leads us to Watergate. So you'll have to tell us about Watergate, which you talk about in your first book.
Yeah.
Okay, continue the story. I love stories. Love this stuff.
Yeah, well, anyway, I thought it was a fantastic idea because I'd just taken an MBA with a major in international finance, and I was all tuned up on SDRs and all that stuff. I thought this is really bold because I had at that time you trained as a as an apostle of the Federal Reserve. You may be a little dubious at first, but as you continue to study, you become a real aficionado of the Federal Reserve system. Well, anyway, here I was. I was going to be on the ground of building a parallel competitive system. I thought this was great. And so I went in one day, and there was a certain amount of anxiety and apprehension in the office. And so I asked for marching orders of what our next step was. And they said, we don't have a next step. We're not doing that, which was, in my case, doing the requirements to computerize the SNLs. I said, what do you mean? I was hired to do that. No, you weren't. There was never any such project. And I thought, uh-oh, we're in trouble now. This is Twilight Zone. But at the same time, the Watergate saga was breaking on the news. Television, Washington Post, New York Times were going on and on about some guy in a garage was giving out secrets, and they gave him a code name Deep Throat from a pornographic movie of the time. And two guys, Bernstein and Woodward, they're a pair.
Yes, indeed.
Woodward was a top Navy intelligence officer, gets out of the Navy, or allegedly gets out of the Navy, goes to work for a giveaway newspaper in Columbia, Maryland, and or somewhere near there, winds up by happenstance, if you will, at the Washington Post with the biggest story of the century, and is given free rein. So,
and you're suggesting that he might still work for like Navy intelligence?
Oh yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd wager on it, but I think that way.
Oh, maybe a little bit of money.
Yeah, maybe. So he and the Jewish guy, Bernstein.
Carl.
Bernstein comes out of a total Bolshevik background. And he's a longtime Jewish labor family. And so between the two of them, they make a pair and they go after Richard Nixon as a person. They never mentioned the savings and loans. Only time that the bank came up was at some of the hearings when Sam Ervin was chairing the commission, the Senate investigation, and he kept talking about Bibi Rebozo's savings and loan in Miami. And he kept calling it a bank. Well, Sam has been a banker since he was in diapers, so he knew that a savings and loan was not a bank. But he kept using the term bank during the hearings. And one thing led to another, but the pressure was really on, and people were headed for the woods.
Indeed. All righty, we're going to take a three-minute break. I hate to break. This is so interesting. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tatler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Richard Dwayne Willing, and his website is rdwaynewilling.com. And Richard, you were talking about B.B. Rebozo, or Charles Gregory Rebozo, and he was a friend,
yes.
a friend and confidant of Nixon.
Yes. Well, that also at that time, Haldeman and Ehrlichman were collecting money like drunken sailors. They were collecting like sailors spend. The deal was, if you were in the Fortune 500, one of those two would call you up in the name of the White House, and you're the chairman or the president. And the message was, we need 10% of your profit or 1% of your gross in cash at the old executive office building soon. And this money apparently was going to be the seed money for the new Federal Home Loan Bank Board commercial bank. It would be the new Fed, or the equivalent of the Fed. So it was just brilliant, just so bold and so corrupt, it's unbelievable. But anyway, there was a huge resistance to that. And out of that resistance, I think that's where Nixon shot himself in the foot. Because he'd built the new building for the head office of the new Federal Home Loan Bank Board. The building was almost finished. And, he had his own open market committee selected. They were all SNL people. I don't think between the dozen of them they could light a candle to the Fed open market, but they were there. And, they're a charming bunch. Looked like an old Elks Club or something. The money was piling up, and things were getting out of control, and they were using the cash, as it came out in the hearings. John Dean apparently was part of the gang distributing the cash for black operations, or black bag operations, I should say.
And, what would that entail?
That was the break-in.
Okay.
And where they broke into the psychiatrist's office in California to check somebody's, what was his name? The Pentagon Papers.
Apparently what was that guy's name that wrote the Pentagon Papers?
Yeah, they were checking him out. They were trying to get his shrink files out of an office or somebody. I think that's who it was. So they were using cash, you know, as cash. And John Dean was in the middle of that, and he was called to testify, and he sort of weaseled his way out of guilt and got out of the he escaped a rap, but everybody else got burnt by the thing. So Watergate was caving in as a story of breaking and entering at the Democratic National Head Office on, I've forgotten what street it's on.
Hey, that was Daniel Ellsberg, right?
Ellsberg was the Pentagon Papers, right.
Right.
There's another guy, very famous FBI guy, tried to set him on fire once, set himself on fire to impress a girl once.
These guys really don't have a lot of brains sometimes, do they?
No, he was trying to demonstrate to her his courage and physical capacity. So he held his hand over an open candle flame.
Oh,
she wasn't impressed. Anyway, I can't think of his name, but he was on radio in Washington for a long time. So this whole gang was just made into ordinary, typical, high-level political bureaucrats were made into clowns by the media. Well, some of them, they were clowns in many cases, but I think that's normal all the time there. So the hearings go on, and they're going to impeach Nixon, and so he resigns. But the upshot was that he already had before the Congress a bill to authorize the savings and loans to be converted to capital corporations with the authority for checking accounts. Now, had he been able to get that bill through the Congress, he'd have had a free pass. He would have been on a roll because they had the cash piling up to, you know, finance the central office of the thing. And that bill never passed. And Sam Ervin is the big elephant in the room here because he's got his own master plan. It comes up that the Bank of America plays a big hand here. Bank of America was, well, what's happened in the banking system is that there are four or five big banks, and each of those big banks were getting bigger in the 60s and 70s. And each one was taking on more and more lending activity, which should have been the domain of the Fed. So they were making themselves into mini Feds unofficially. And of course, that takes us to the 2008 crash, but we're getting ahead of our story. So anyway, Sam said he'd like to have one of those in his district in Charlotte, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to the Bank of America and says, come on down to Carolinas and we'll make you a nice home down here. And they did. So we can't be sure how all the power moved at that time, whether the bank went to him or he went to the Bank of America. But anyway, Bank of America winds up in the Carolinas with a brand new office building and all the trainings you can ask for. And they have a huge, they begin. But the upshot of the savings and loan thing is the savings and loans had been squeezed out of business by Wall Street and the Fed and the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, sure, you want to charge more than 12%? Why not 30, you know? So Wall Street starts, and the Fed starts churning, charging, you know, 15, 18, 12, 30% interest, and the savings and loans can't lend money at that rate. And nobody will deposit in the savings and loan because they want to pay 4 or 5%. So the savings and loans are losing their money. And so Wall Street would go to the savings and loan, because Mr. and Miss America would take their $5,000 out of the SNL, put it in a money market fund, and get 12 with Lehman Brothers or somebody, anybody, Solomon. And Solomon or Lehman would go back to the SNL with that $5,000 cash and say, we'll put that in there if you'll give us 15%.
Well,
so they plundered the savings and loan with the savings and loan's own money. And the very, very clever, very well done. In the same time, the Fed is raising interest rates continuously. And it was just impossible for the savings and loans to continue, because the savings and loans had been doing a mini version of the 2008 bust. They'd been building condos by the mile in Texas, all over California and Texas. Home development was widely done across the U.S. And the SNLs had been authorized to do commercial loans. So some of them were investing in airports and shopping plazas. But they weren't very good at it. The upshot it was, when Nixon resigned and interest rates are, 15%, inflation is 16% or whatever it was, business stops, the SNLs don't get paid, and they go broke. And they're closed across the board. The entire savings and loan industry was wiped out during the Carter administration. And when Reagan came to power with the makeup guy, the cosmetic guy, they looked at the savings and loan and they called it hitting the jackpot. In other words, by stripping the SNLs, they could make a huge amount of money. And apparently they did. But anyway, Reagan called it hitting the jackpot. So, and of course, Bush 1 was there. Bush Sr. was in it. So that's the beginning of the end for the SNL industry. At the same time, Congress passes legislation that says you're not authorized as a local SNL to hold the mortgages. You have to sell the mortgages to Wall Street. That was a directive from the Congress.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. So even if you were a successful SNL, you couldn't hold the mortgages, because you had to sell them to Wall Street. And a guy named Meriwether was he's still around on Wall Street. He was a leader in stripping the mortgages out of the savings and loans. And
then What a big scam to ruin local business and the association that local people have with the community.
Oh, it's done. It's just here. That's dangerous. Big Biswog can't tolerate that. This is where Biswog becomes into the picture.
Right.
For me, it started to anyway. I started to say, well, who's running this? Who's stripping the country? It's not in the local politician's interest unless he's getting paid to see his local area take a bath, financial bath. So I sort of theorized there must be somebody else out here with money. Well, at that time, there was a very popular thing called ZOG. Zionist occupation government. And I thought, well, that's part of it maybe, but there's more to it than that. And so I stumbled on the British Israel idea and the long time relationship of London finance with American commerce. And that's another story, but it's very, very meaningful. For instance, if Nixon had been successful and his SNLs had been able to become commercial banks, they could have taken over all the floor plan financing of all the car dealers and all that kind of, a huge piece of the financial economy. And they could have taken over car loans. And that's a huge amount of money. So what happened, because in floor plan financing, a bank goes to the dealer and says, you got 1,000 cars, you need $10,000 for each car for 60 days to have that car on the lot, because, the dealer is supposed to pay for it when the car arrives. Well, he doesn't have $5 million or whatever the number is. So he goes to the bank, and the bank says, you need 50 cars? Get 50 cars. And it's like 2% a month or 1% a month or whatever the fee was at that time. Well, Lloyds Bank of the famous city of London was a major player in floor plan financing in the U.S. And also the Big Five, Bank of America, Chase, all those guys. So this is how the money is pumped out of the local economy. And if the savings and loans had been able to take that and still remain local and do all their local financing, the savings and loans would have been eminently wealthy in a very short period of time and would, in fact, have become contenders with the Federal Reserve, no doubt.
Right. And of course, we know who's running London, the city of London.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So Nixon offended everybody. And I can't believe he thought he was going to get away with it on the QT, you know, just quietly get this legislation slipped through there. Because London has been reading U.S. Congress legislation to the finest decimal point for 100 years. So I don't see how he thought he could get away with that. But anyway, there was a nice plan. It was great, and it had a certain cachet to it that would have made a difference in my life if we'd gone ahead. But anyway, it didn't go ahead, and Nixon got sacked, and I left the bank board because it was all that time was under investigation by again. But so the investigation shift from Nixon after he was gone to the SNLs and wiped them out. And but in that process, all the mortgages wind up in Wall Street to be part of CDOs and SVIs and, you know, whatever you want to call them. That's where they went. And there's a second part of that is that during the, aside from the dot-com swindle, the markets weren't paying very much. And these mortgages, the Americans had always paid their mortgages. They were just the soft touch as far as paying their mortgages. So this was a guaranteed investment. And by changing the risk of the investment from mom and pop to the razzle-dazzle players, you could change the interest rate from 6 or 8 to 18%. And then with that screwy idea where they could had flexible rates where every 18 months your rate doubles or something, it was just crazy. And they sold that paper in the world market as mortgages. And the mortgage was, you know, considered as good as gold. Well, anyway, they simply ran out of paper by 2007, and they didn't have any more paper to sell to pay the interest coming due on the paper they already sold. So down it goes. And in the meantime, you've got just a total wreck in the economy. And
amazing.
So that's the inside story from where I saw it. And
what about Arthur Burns? What did the part you cover in book one, Money, the 12th and Final Religion, and you talk about the Watergate apartment hotel and Arthur Burns, whose real name was Burnside. He was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And he was an Austrian-born Jew, and yeah. Nixon appointed him chairman of the Federal Reserve, and yeah. He was in there for about 8 years. So tell us what you know about him and the Watergate thing, and what the burglars were really getting.
Well, the Burns had his office on the top floor of the Watergate, right above the sixth floor office of the Democratic headquarters. Now, the Democratic headquarters was empty at that time. So the burglars would go into the Democratic headquarters and stage themselves to go up and break into Burns's Federal Reserve office. That was his working office. The Federal Reserve building is down the street, you know, mm-hmm. a few blocks. But that was his office. And J. Edgar Hoover and he used to sit up there and look over files, apparently. I don't know what they did. But anyway, the break-in, the burglars went up there to get files and bring them back down to the, and this is before the laptop and all that. We, you know, you were talking serious files here. And so they had to truck those down the steps, three floors or two or three floors, to the, be photocopied in the, Democratic, headquarters office. Whether it photocopied or photographed, I don't know.
Right.
But,
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We have to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our Republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper to lien the right and no paper to waive the duty. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean if you can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its duty by both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan. Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Time to relax and unwind. What better way to do so than with Santa Barbara Bells? For over 25 years, our wind chimes have been helping people to relax and enjoy life. Turn your home environment into a pleasurable experience. From the small overture chime to the large super bass, you will find just the right chime to enjoy. All wood, strings, and cordage are protected for long life, and all parts are rust-proof. You have 10 sizes to choose from. To see and hear more of the chimes, go to SantaBarbaraBells.com or call us at 805-733-1513. Santa Barbara Bells is currently having a springtime sale. Come to the website and save up to 50% on all of our chimes. SantaBarbaraBells.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Richard Dwayne Willing. His website is rdwaynewilling.com. And you, okay, so they had all these records. They were hauling them downstairs. They had to be really strong guys because these records are heavy. And so they were hauling them down there to photocopy them. Okay, pick it up from there.
Okay, well, the requirement for the plumbers, when the so-called plumbers were the break-in entering guys, the requirement to be a plumber is you had to be able to carry weights up and down stairs. You couldn't have a bad back or something. You had to be strong. That's in Liddy, Gordon Liddy. That's a guy. Gordon and his requirements for plumbers, they had to be strong. Anyway, so they were hustling up and down the stairs, and and the story of how they got caught and how they taped the door, so somebody taped the door so that it would give away they were in there, and they wound up in court as one-time Cuban exiles, and I don't think any of them were Cubans, but that begins the actual court activity of breaking and entering, around which Nixon was to be purged, impeached. But the upshot of the Fed relationship with the Federal Home Loan Bank Board is that Preston Martin is a financial wizard. I mean, he's just a top financial mind, and he was head of the Federal Home Loan Bank Board for Nixon. And one thing led to another, and somehow Preston Martin changed his loyalty. He bailed out of the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, and circumstances would suggest that somehow, maybe in the Biswog circle, he was promised the chairmanship of the Federal Reserve. Makes sense. Why futz around try to build a new organization when you can get one already operating, right? But it didn't work. And he was footloose for a while. And finally, I think it was during Carter, they posted him as a deputy, sort of an assistant chairman to the Federal Reserve. But he had no authority because there's no such thing as a post. So that was a sop for his betrayal of Richard Nixon. But when you look at that a little closer, you find the Fed was organized to have a deputy. There's the chairman, appointed by, as it is now, but at the same time, the Secretary of Treasury, the cabinet member of the executive, chief executive, would sit as an equal and simultaneously with the chairman of the Fed. In other words, the Fed could not run off from what was beneficial to the Treasury. And that was written into the original legislation, was gradually purged away, I think, in the 30s by the Roosevelt administration. So there was a rule.
We have a station ID, so we'll be back in just a few minutes. And we'll pick it up there.